God, we thank you for your word, the life-changing blood that is your word. God, your word says, where else can I go? For you have the words of life. Your word even declares that you've placed your word above even your name. God, we do nothing here if your name isn't lifted up by the word going forward. So please, may your word go forward and change our lives. May your word break those that are hard, humble those that are prideful, free those who are bound, release the captives, the prisoners, those who have been confused. May your word be like the great fog lifter that it is. We come before the light of your word asking you, please, have your way in us as we look to your word. In Christ's name, amen. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Please give me your attention. David wrote this psalm. David had been walking with the Lord since he's a little boy, and this crazy thing happens. He has to remind himself exactly who God is. Tonight's whole study, everybody we're going to look at in the second chapter of Kings is the same thing. We tend to forget who God is, and I'll tell you why. And now here's the thing. It doesn't matter whether you're walking with the Lord for a year, 10 years, 20 plus years, 50 years, 30 years. What happens is you fall into this trap. Usually you'll find it in churches. You'll find it on TV shows. You'll find it in your own heart. I know how that works. I know what God's doing. I got this. We go on some crazy autopilot forgetting that God called Abram, the first chosen of God, and he said, come out from Mesopotamia and follow me to a place that I will show you. But here's what happens. We, in wonder, usually because we got nothing else left in our lives, we've messed everything else up at that point, we come out and we start walking with the Lord and broken. Okay, God, I'm going to go to this family. And we wind up like that for a little while. Then all of a sudden, God gives us a little bit of wing, a little bit of strength. And there we are. I got this now. I got a little swear. I got, man. I got this, God. I got this. It's good that way. No problem. No problem. And David, Ryan, ooh, you're 20 years old in the Lord. Ooh, you're such a big boy. Now, I got a 21-year-old. I've got a 27-year-old. I've got a 23-year-old. And although I'm so proud of all the things that they've done, in my heart, they're not grown up yet. How could they be? I'm not grown up yet. I'm still in wonder every time. When I read this psalm, it's like, if I showed you guys, I got this Bible in 2012, and every year I go through. You see all these dates right there? I've read this psalm just in the last 3 years, 8 times, just in my morning devotions. I've read this. And then if you count the 15 years before that I've been studying the Word, goodness, I probably read this thing 30, 40 times. I know this psalm. I know the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I mean, I even know it in the King James. But God did something to me yesterday when I read this. I was sitting in the car outside the hospital waiting for my wife. And I read it and I was like, dude, wake up. Get off of autopilot. Get out of I know this land and do something different. And listen how he describes, listen how David describes this. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. It's like we have these ancient gates, these old raggedy doors, and we're walking around in the kingdom, and we're just kind of digging our lives. And God says, David writes, lift up these gates. Lift up these ancient doors. The King of glory wants to come in. Lift him up. Lift up your gates. Lift up your heads. I don't know where you're at. I don't. God knows where you're at, and you know where you're at. Have you gotten into some routine with the Lord? Have things gotten a little stale, a little dry time, a little season of, I lead worship, you know. Sorry. This is a long day. I got out, went to work, did my devotion. Of course I did my devotion. Have you done something crazy in the name of the Lord lately? Or are you so self-condemned because of the sin you didn't shed? I wish I could stop smoking herb. I wish I could stop drinking booze. I wish I could. Well, what are you doing different that God might do something miraculous that you can't do in the physical?
I go to church every Wednesday and Sunday.
No. Let's do something crazy, me and you. Let's go to the beach and worship God, just you and the Lord. I got to get up early for work. Oh, I see. Before you were a Christian, party until 4 or 5 in the morning, come home, take a shower, go to the next party. Hey, it's Sunday night, no problem. When it's for your flesh, no problem. But for the Lord, you're a good boy now. You're a good girl now. Don't do anything crazy. I got to be responsible. Gotcha. Let's see what happens here. 2 Kings chapter 14. I say with a yawn. In the second year of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, became king. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Well, that's enough. Why does this chapter have to even continue? He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Isn't that enough? I believe in Jesus. I go to church. I even serve. Can that be it? Is that all you want out of this? Remember I told you a couple weeks ago, we're about to see a 100-year period in the nation of Israel, in the nation of Judah, where for 100 years the kings did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but none of them did what was great in the sight of the Lord. None of them did an Asa. None of them did a Josiah. None of them certainly did a David. They just did what was right. Do you want to do what's right or you want to do what's great? How long have you been walking with the Lord? Are the gates shut? There's this movie, King Arthur. Does anybody see King Arthur? Great flick if you're into movies. Good. There's these gates that kept Rome set apart from, I forget the other nation, but when they opened the gates at the end, you got to see the dust breaking and the crust breaking. And there's these big gates and the chains, they're clanking, and boom, they open up. And as they open up, man, the wooden thing, boom, falls. And it's just like, man, I dig that. There's something about it. It's just dramatic. It's like those gates ain't been opened in a while. you can tell. Does anybody know the scene I'm talking about? Oh, okay, good. You remember? Man, it's just great. These gates of your heart. Lift up these ancient doors. Lift up your heads. I do not want a church full of people to do what's right in the sight of the Lord. I want a church full of people who are doing what's great in the sight of the Lord. I want to do what's great. No lukewarm. Never. Listen, if we all get raptured at the same time, I don't want to see nobody on fire, okay? Nobody. I want to be there. I want to be running into each other's arms, you know, right into the arms of the Lord. Shoo! We made it. Whew, shoo! Because the Bible says that. The Bible says that some of us get saved as with fire. Forget that noise. Forget that noise. Why don't you go on a month-long vacation? We'll send you to Romania, to our people we have there. How about Africa? We got that girl in Uganda. She always needs help. Oh, but I have a house. Man, we'll help you pay the mortgage. We'll send you out there. Oh, I got a job. Quit. You think God's not going to honor that? Lift up your heads, O you gates. Yet not like his father David, he did everything as his father Joash had done. However, the high places were not taken away, and the people still sacrificed and burnt incense on the high places. Let me explain you what that means. He was a Ready? I'm putting in words we can understand each other. He was a Christian, but he still read the horoscope. He was a Christian, but he still played the lottery because God maybe needed a little help with that provision. He was a Christian, but he was kind of like more of a Catholic. You know what I mean? He was a Christian, but... You follow me? Did what was right. Ain't that enough? Now it happened as soon as the kingdom was established in his hand that he executed his servants who had murdered his father, the king. But the children of the murderers he did not execute according to what is written in the book of the law of Moses, in which the Lord commanded, saying, fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor the children be put to death for their fathers, but a person shall be put to death for his own sin. If you guys remember, his father went crazy at the end of his years, did some terrible things. We actually refer to 2 Chronicles. Man, and his servants, the Edomite, the guys that weren't even Israelites, they killed him. Like, man, this guy's got to go. They killed him. So he gets into office. He takes power. And as soon as he establishes it, he goes, those people that killed my father, they're dead. But you know what? According to the word, I'm not going to kill their children. Listen. Very good. They're so good job. Good. I'm sure the angels like, there's probably one angel up there going, I thought it was cool. And let me tell you, between 6 and 7, according to 2 Chronicles and according to a lot of scholars, there is a long pause. Some say as much as 15 to 22 years, maybe more. Because verse 7 says, he killed 10,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt and took Shelah by war and called his name Jokthiel to this day. Now, you're going to find this guy in Scripture. His name is also Uzziah. His name isn't just Joash. Amaziah. It's also Uzziah. And when he killed those Edomites in the Valley of Salt, it displeased God very much because he did it with a cruelty. He did it with a lack of mercy. He did it with a lack of calling that was appalling to God. And you're going to see what happens to him. It's kind of a funny thing, guys. You know, sometimes God sits on the throne and he goes, you know, I've had enough of this guy. But sometimes it seems like in the desire to get his will accomplished, he uses those things that are wicked to affect those that are righteous. Apparently, he was righteous in God's eyes. He found grace in the sight of the Lord because he did what was right in the sight of the Lord somehow. Whether it was his generational bloodline, who knows what it actually was here, but he found grace. But God said, you know, on my way to accomplishing my ultimate goal, watch what I'm about to do here. And this is so important for us, lest we think that all who are exalted by God are good and all who are put down by him are bad. Every time it seems as Christians things are going great in our life, we are under this false impression God's really happy with us. And every time things are going bad in our life, we're just sure we're being punished. And that is just not Scripture. Well, then how do we know what we're doing is good and what we're doing is bad? Loving the Lord is good. But here's the thing. I wanted to talk to you about that, Pastor Ryan, because I got this thing in my life, and I want you to tell me whether, listen to me, the answer is no. It's already no. You already know it's wrong. The only reason you're asking somebody is because you want them to justify it for you. Just stop doing it. What if I don't stop doing it? Well, maybe you'll do what's right in the sight of the Lord and you can be okay in God's sight. If that's what you want out of life. That's why I'm so impressed with our brother Joey. And he joined the Marine Corps. And he was the guide. Out of 600 recruits, he finished second. Like, he didn't go in there to get through it. Man, I hope I can make it through boot camp. I hope I can be a Marine. He said, heck no. I want to be the Marine, not a Marine. I love that heart. Not that there's anything wrong with finishing in the middle of the pack, even at the bottom of the pack. I mean, being a Marine is a Marine. I mean, that's pretty darn good. Getting through boot camp, man, you know, Crucible, Hell Week, that's tough stuff. He wasn't satisfied with that, though. You guys with that? Are you satisfied with your life in Christ? I just want to know. Are you cool with where you're at in the Lord? Are you still? Is the baggage that you had in the world, are you still dragging around with you in the Lord? Then Amaziah sent messengers to Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let us face one another in battle. And Jehoash, the king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon sent this to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give your daughter to my son as wife. And a wild beast that was in Lebanon passed by and trampled the thistle. You have indeed defeated Edom, and your heart has lifted you up. Glory in that. Stay at home. For why should you meddle with trouble so that you fall, you and Judah with you? Please give me your attention. He kills 10,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. Man, you see what I did? You know what? Israel has got a lot of our territory. Again, if you're new to our studies, we're looking at the nation of Israel, the 2 southern tribes, the 10 northern tribes, the 10 northern tribes called Israel, the 2 southern tribes called Judah, the king of Judah who we're studying tonight, some call him Uzziah. He looks and he says, you know what? Send a letter to that king in Israel. Tell him, let's do it. Come on. Come on, you got some of our property, we want it back. And the king of Israel, a wicked king, might I add, Jehoash, he says, you know, let me tell you a story, son. There was a thistle that grew up in Lebanon. And there was another thistle that grew up in Lebanon. And the one thistle looked at the other thistle and said, hey, give me your daughter as a wife. Only problem is, when a deer walked by, it squashed him. Why don't you do yourself a favor? Before you're looking at the cedar in Lebanon, to give him, to take from him something The little thistle is looking at the cedar. Say, do yourself a favor. Stay home. It'd be safer for you. Now, notice it didn't say he prayed about it. He sought the counsel of many. The prophets spoke nothing. Zero. You saw nothing about this. What was the precluding him going to Israel? A military victory that made him feel lifted up. Are you with me? Are you guys, am I losing y'all? But Amaziah would not heed. Therefore, Jehoash, king of Israel, went out. So he and Amaziah, king of Judah, faced one another at Beth Shemesh, which belongs to Judah. And Judah was defeated by Israel, and every man fled to his tent. Then Jehoash, king of Israel, captured Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Jehoash, the son of Ahaziah, at Beth Shemesh, and he went to Jerusalem and broke down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits, and he took all the gold and silver, all the articles that were found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house and the hostages, and returned to Samaria. Please give me your attention. This is the confusing part that we must continually wrap our head around. We must continually quantify. We must continually be connected to the vine. The Bible talks about in John 15, staying connected to the vine. This is so immortally important. Yes, immortally. Because here, a wicked king defeated a king that was righteous in the sight of God. And it's very, very easy that this happens. And it happens all over our country, in churches, in government. Somebody wins some great victory, and they go, the Lord is with me. Why is the Lord with you? Well, I won. And that means what? Look how big we are. And that means what? Well, God wouldn't bless a church with a lot of people. Well, God wouldn't be with an army. Really, so ISIS right now must be really, really happy. God must be really happy with them because they're defeating a lot of people right now in the Middle East. They're wiping out Christians left and right. Matter of fact, I think it was the Pope who just said, man, Christianity will be wiped out of the Middle East if they don't stop these people. And our Christian president, for some strange reason, he says, don't worry, he's on it. I don't feel safe. Well, I'm Ryan, you're not helping me. You're confusing me. So how do we know when we're doing right in the sight of the Lord? You know when you're doing right in the sight of the Lord. Stop playing games with God. This ain't a game. You know what's right in the sight of the Lord. Don't play with God. You can't do what's right in the sight of the Lord because you go to church on Sunday or Wednesday. You do what's right in the sight of the Lord by having a relationship with Him. Let me ask you a question. Parents here, you have a kid, and your kid wants nothing to do with you, but he lives in your house and eats your food. Your kid does not want anything to do with you, but he has a good job and makes good money. Your kid wants nothing to do with you, but he has a mess of kids and he raises them all right. But your kid wants nothing to do with you. Do you feel successful? I don't. I want my kids to love me, to trust me, to respect me, to honor me, because I know that honors God. It's the same situation. You know when you're walking with the Lord and when you're not. Lift up those gates. You're not the first person it's happened to, especially you guys, some of you guys that are in that 2 to 3 year mark. That's a bad, bad time. Think about you guys that have kids, that 2 to 3 year mark. Whew! We used to call them the terrible twos and the worst threes. Man, they just get into this. I know everything. I know how church works. I know how God works. I read the Bible. Oh, you read it? Really? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Oh, there's that angel again.
Well, I thought it was good.
That's the same angel that shows up when you pray for the food. Dear God, bless the food. There's that angel. Do-do-do-do. Food prayer.
I thought it was good.
And he got smashed. And a lot of people died with him. Probably good people. And he got captured. And you know what happened because of his disobedience? For one of the first and only times, the king of Israel broke into the holy city, went to the king's house, went to the Lord's house, and stole all the gold articles. Are you kidding me? Verse 15, and here's the guys, this is probably the saddest verse in the entire Bible, given the story we just read. Now, the rest of the acts of Jehoash, which he did, his might, how he fought with Amaziah, king of Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Jehoash rested with his fathers and was buried in Samaria with the king of Israel. Then Jeroboam, his son, reigned in his place. Then he died. Here he did a bunch of stuff. It's written down. You could see it. His kids remember him. No. You guys, you might have been in this church long enough. As a young Christian, I had this kid work for me. His name was Jared. Jared had a father he was a pastor of this Pentecostal church. And when I mean Pentecostal, I mean Pentecostal. They went huffing and hollering and jumping and hooting. And I grew up in a church where there was a very elitist mentality. We didn't believe we were the only church, but we believed God was with us because we had 20-some-odd thousand people in our church, you know. So if they were doing something right, I guess God would have been blessing them with people. You know what I'm saying? They ain't had 100 people in their silly old little church, and they met in a little metal building. My church had a friggin' city, Jack. A city. We had like 3 restaurants, 2 bookstores, 50 pastors. Are you kidding me? That's a church. That man taught me more about God than anybody. He just loved the Lord. Do I agree with everything he did as far as huffing and jumping over seats and slaying people in the spirit? Not necessarily, but you know what? Leaving that story for a second, then I'll come back if I remember. There was a guy named Wimberly. He was part of a movement called Vineyard. Does anybody remember Vineyard Church Movement? Very famous movement, and it was really big out west. He used to be a part of Calvary Chapel. And then Wimberly went and started Vineyard. But when he was dying in, I want to say the 80s, late 80s, he was dying, they said to him, you know, you did a lot of things in the name of the Holy Spirit that some might be ashamed of. Are you ashamed of what you said and gave God credit for? And he said, yeah, maybe I did. He says, but I rather have done things in the name of the Holy Spirit that I'm ashamed of than nothing in the Holy Spirit. And although that's a kind of a cop-out excuse, I got it. For me, that hit home. It's like, okay, lift up those ancient gates, man. Kick open those doors. Let the King of Glory come in. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. And what are we doing with it? I go to church on Sunday, and I go to church on Wednesday. Well, I thought it was good. Come on. Knock on your neighbor's door and ask him if you can pray for him. Oh, my neighbor, he's... Okay. Then wash his car, bake him some cookies, and put a Bible verse in it and say, hey, this is just... Wash his car and bake him cookies. Do something different. Open up those ancient gates. Let the King of Glory come in. My brothers and sisters that I've been walking with here for a while, some of you guys I've been with a while, 20 years, man, I'm telling you, this kicked my butt the other day. I got to find something else to do in the Lord. I'm doing something different. This next year, I'm going to be doing something different in the Lord. I don't know what it is, but I am immediately went to prayer. God, bust open these ancient doors. Bust open these gates. I am done with this same old, same old. I'm done. Now, some of you guys, well-intended, go, you live your whole life for the Lord. You teach in the church. I never even see you not here. You're in ministry. You're ministering to people all day long. Nothing to me. It's my pastor used to describe it like this, and I love it. You say, when you first got saved, you were here. And then all of a sudden, you started reading the Bible, and you're here. Man, that's good. And then you got rid of your worship, your secular music, and you started worshiping. Man, and then you started serving. And then every place should be your bottom line, though. What are you doing back there? Well, I'm going to start going to church on Wednesday nights, including Sunday. And then here we are, we backslide, though, and we find ourselves here, and we go, well, I'm doing good in the sight of the Lord. Why is that? Well, I still read my Bible. I thought it was good. Come on. So what? I'm a pastor? Who called me pastor? I guarantee you the white stone that I get from God when I get to heaven is not going to say, pastor. I'm doing something different. You come with me or not. Right on, Christian. And now you see Jeroboam in chapter, in verse, I keep saying that, in verse 16 there. That's Jeroboam the second. You guys remember Jeroboam the first. Jeroboam the first is the one who is the son of Nebat who made Israel sin that we looked at last week. This is Jeroboam the second. Now, Jeroboam brought great victory, great prosperity to the nation of Israel when it came to finances and war, but he was a godless wit like his namesake. Amaziah, the son of Jehoash, king of Judah, lived 15 years after the death of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel. You know what that means? From the time he was captured to the time that the guy captured him, he lived another 15 years, and you know what he did? Nothing. Zero. He actually had a co-regency. He had somebody else reigning with him. No. No. Now, the rest of the acts of Amaziah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And they formed a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem. He fled to Lachish. They sent after him to Lachish and killed him there. When they brought him on horses and he was buried at Jerusalem with his father, with his fathers in the city of David. There he goes. Died the same way his father did. And ain't that the curse we place on our kids? They do the same thing we do, don't they? We talked about the bloodline curse. And here it is. His dad did what was right in the sight of the Lord. But he went crazy at the end of his life. And his servants killed him. That's okay. Maybe I can have my son grow up the same way. He could walk with the Lord for 20-some-odd years. And then get really tired because somebody hurt his feelings and just go to church on Wednesday and Sunday. No! No. Won't let it happen. Back to the story I almost forgot to tell you. So this guy that is the Pentecostal pastor, he comes home one time. He's from Texas. He had this little Texas twang. Not a southern drawl, because that's southern. He had Texas twang. Came back to me and said, Ryan, let me tell you something. You're looking for the perfect church, and you find it, don't join it. You'll ruin it. I said, wow, that's heavy. He said, let me tell you something, Ryan. I just watched my daddy die. My daddy stayed in his bed for 3 weeks waiting to die until all his sons can get there. He sat in his bed, and when my younger brother Bobby got there, he looked up at Bobby, and he said, my sons are all around me. I'll teach you young men how to live, and I'm going to teach you how to die. I'm going to run into the arms of the Lord with my last breath. It's like, what? His father held on to life. He said he seemed to know he was dying and held on until his last son got there. And he looked at them and he said, I've taught you how to live, and I'm going to teach you how to die. Moved me. This is probably 15 years ago, and I remember it like it was yesterday. And he looked at us, and he ran into the arms of his Savior. And we sat there and wept tears of joy and not sorrow. Moved me, man. Moved me so much I remember it and telling you guys about it. And the people of Judah took Azariah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Elath and restored it to Judah after the king rested with the fathers. Now listen, this is the postscript. This is the PS to this story. You see what the people did? The people took his 16-year-old son and made him king. I want to ask you something. Why didn't any of those people make themselves king? Heck no. I ain't doing nothing crazy in the Lord. Look what happened to that guy. His father got killed by a servant. Listen, it's better if we let him reign and he can be like our puppet. We'll tell him what to do. And at the end of his days, we'll betray him, we'll kill him, and we'll get the next kingdom too. And ain't that what we're doing? You're watching me? Come on. We got enough people in here to have more ministries than we got. We need people in a band. How many of y'all have a musical talent? Come on. You lead worship, man, you get in trouble like that. You know, that's when the enemy sees you. Betcha. Betcha he will. Man, my best days of ministry behind me. My best day, listen, I'm 60-some-odd years old. You know, I'm retired. Really. Well, I thought he was good. In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. Now, you guys see what he does here. Now, because we're looking at the story of these different kings, we're looking at the kings that reigned in Israel and the kings that reigned in Judah at the same time and how they overlapped. So if this is confusing to you guys because you're either new to our study, you guys that haven't been here, just remember where you're at. We're looking at kings from Israel, kings from Judah, and how they're overlapped. So this king reigned this many years, this king reigned this many years, this guy died, this guy. So it seems confusing until you look at a timeline. I think next week or the week after, I'm going to have Drew put up a timeline so you can see how these things overlapped. And who, and it's really an interesting study, is to find out the time frame and find out what prophets were alive and to see how they related to the prophet Jonah, all the other prophets that wrote books in the Bible. Most of them were alive during this time at one period or another. And it's a very interesting study if you're a Bible geek like me. Otherwise, you know, just go home and watch Cops. In the 15th year, Amaziah, son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, became king in Samaria, and he reigned 41 years. So that's Jeroboam II reigned 41 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin. He restored the territory of Israel from the entrance of Hamath to the sea of Arabah, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he had spoken through his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai. Is that the same Jonah? Same one? Well, so he was alive during the same time as Jonah? Yeah. But what about the story of Jonah in the whale and same time frame? That's cool. So you could see what was going on in another part of the world where Jonah was, because Jonah declared to him what he was going to do. Even though he was a wicked king, he gained back a lot of land. So he was wicked. God gave him victory in battle, let him rule in Israel for 41 years. Yep. You see, that's where it gets confusing again. Of course it does. It gets confusing because we've got to get out of the mindset that says, if I do something good, God's going to do something good for me. If I do something bad, we have to just walk with the Lord. Know that the grace of the glory of God is upon us, continually walking forward with God, hand in hand with a relationship, and not wondering, if I do something good, is God going to be? Listen, when you do something bad, just ask God to forgive you and keep going forward. If you do something good, look for something good to do the next day. You know when you're walking with the Lord and when you're not. Don't play that game because you go to the popular church. You're not popular. There's a guy named Warren Wiersbe, he has a book out called Real Worship. Phenomenal book. He says the vast majority of the mega churches in America, the Holy Spirit can leave and nobody will ever know. The Holy Spirit completely be sucked. God can just go pull his Holy Spirit out and nothing at the church changes one iota. The vast majority. Because when you start going to a church because there's a lot of people going to a church, then the only reason people are going to that church is because a lot of people are going to that church. Then it becomes popular. And then it's not big because it's good. It's good because it's big. And you got big problems then. Pastors do all kinds of crazy stuff when people tell them how great they are all the time. And let me just tell you a little bit about my life. Nobody tells me how great I am. And when you do, it makes me really uncomfortable and I just walk away. The prophet who was from Geth Hefer. For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel was very bitter, and whether bond or free, there was no helper for Israel. And the Lord did not say that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. Yes, the Lord does all for himself, even the wicked for the day of doom. The Lord has reserved the angels of darkness in chains awaiting the last days. Yes, God uses even the wicked for those things. Now, the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, all that he did, his might, how he made war, and how he recaptured for Israel from Damascus and Hamath what belonged to Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Jeroboam rested with his fathers, the kings of Israel. Then Zechariah, ooh, I like that name. Oh, wait, you see Zechariah. His son reigned in his place. Please close your Bible. Lift up, you ancient doors. Let the King of Glory in again. Let him in again. Anybody remember that song? Alex, we got to do that song, bro. Remember that song? You don't know that song? Bro, that's passion. Wow, that's some look. Nice beard. He shaved it, I know. Did you save it for me? I just taped that thing right on there, man. It's a manly beard. Did he? Yeah. Come on, guys. Don't take this as another Bible study. Take it as a call. Man, call the elders of the church. You know, what's that verse? Is it Joel? Oh, where is that? Call for a fast. Proclaim a fast. What is that, bro? Remind me of the verse. No. Tell me how it goes. Do you remember? I don't have to look it up. Man, it's just like, start over, man. Start over. I don't care if you're 2 or 3 years old. I don't care if you're 20 years old. I don't care. Can we just repent and say, God, forgive me for letting myself grow stale and old, and let's do something crazy for the Lord. God, let's start a ministry, man. Let me go out of my comfort zone. Let me do something. Let me change, man. I'm done with yesterday. Yesterday's done. Yesterday, tomorrow, today, now, right? Let's pray.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for your call to arms. We thank you that in the call to arms, there is great comfort knowing that your word tells us that you will be with us everywhere we go. God, and whether it's life or death, your word says that our God is with us even unto deaths. God, what an awesome verse. Awesome is your word that says it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God, your word says, ask and I will give the nations to you. Father God, you promised to give us the nations, and we don't even ask for our workplace. We don't even ask for the lady who rings us out at Publix. Lift up, you ancient gates. Let the King of Glory in again. Do something insane in our lives, God. Turn us upside down. You are our phenomenon. In Christ's name, amen.